I'll be reading from Acts 1. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into the heaven will come back in the very same way you have seen him go into heaven.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone, visitors. We're certainly proud that you're with us, and several visitors today invite you to come back and be with us again at any opportunity that you have. I apologize, we got started a little late this morning. Sunday school teacher went way over, and we're going to get that worked out. He's not going to teach anymore. We'll put a stop to that. But one more thing I do want to say to those of you in Sunday class, to all of us. We talked this morning about the bad things that happen and how do we deal with that. I just wanted to remind us as an addition, Paul probably had one of the closer relationships with God of anybody we know. Suffered a great deal, kept a positive attitude about it. But you remember, Paul has a thorn in the flesh that we're not sure what it was, but it bothered him greatly. And Paul prayed on multiple occasions for the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh. And the Lord's response was, my grace is sufficient for you. And he never removed that. And it had certainly nothing to do with Paul's faithfulness or God's love for him, but that was something he had to deal with. And so those things just happened. But again, we learn to trust in God. In that. Now, I'm a little disappointed in the men of the congregation. I appreciate Steve Likens preaching last week. He did a great job. We had a fantastic retreat. For those of you who weren't with us, it was just beautiful weather. It was a great time. But y'all sent sweet Sandra Cook to me to tell me what a great preacher we had last week and to say... And here's what made it, this was the lesson, and why you weren't man enough to tell me. She said, Steve said, you might not like what I say, but you'll appreciate the time it takes me to say it. I got the message. But I don't know why you had to send Sandra. You know, just man up. Rob is not feeling well today, and we certainly hope he gets to feeling better, but tonight will be our home Bible study. So our group, the group that normally meets at Rob and Candy's house, we'll just meet here at the building tonight. And so we'd invite all of you to come. If you've not been a part of our small groups or our home Bible studies, maybe a better way to say it. We'll use the exact same format tonight, but we'll just be here together, and we'll do the video. And we're talking from Psalms 119. We're studying in Psalms 119. It's been a really good study. So we just invite you to join. I think we're joining up at least with Jerry's group. Jerry, y'all are here tonight too. We're not knocking you out. We're going to join you. Can we do that, brother? Huh? We can be together. We can separate. Whatever you want to do. We can watch the video together. We can separate. Are we not good enough for you, Jerry? We'll make it happen. So, and we may watch the video together. We may divide into groups, Jerry's group and Rob's group, or we might divide up a different way. But we'll be here and we'll have that discussion. It'll be a good time. I hope y'all know we're all just cutting up with each other this morning, but it's a good time to be together. Isn't it a beautiful morning? It's a time of Thanksgiving. I hope that you can enjoy this week. I hope it's a good week. You know, this is not this morning's sermon, so, you know, You're going to get it all anyway. That's what I said in the class. They were all worried. I said, Stan's leading singing. I'm preaching. They're not starting without us. So we're all good. I hope you enjoy this week of Thanksgiving. It is my favorite time of year. I love it. It's my favorite holiday of the year. I just like Thanksgiving. I enjoy this time. I'll enjoy this week before. And it's a good time to be together. And it's a time I just want to be thankful for the God for the abundance of blessings that He has given us. And you know, find things to be thankful about. I know we all have struggles, and some of us are in that period of our life, a season of life, where we're dealing with larger struggles than at other times in our lives. And you know, we need to be supportive of each other in that. But even in those darker times, or those times of greater struggle, it's important that we're mindful to be thankful for the things that we have to be thankful for. Because we are certainly a blessed people, aren't we? Y'all say amen. It's okay. Amen. Amen. We are blessed, and those blessings come from God. And I'm thankful for every one of them. All right. We're in Acts. We're moving rapidly through Acts. Woo! We're blowing through Acts. I found something that I heard this week somewhere that a snail can sleep up to 3 weeks. Do you know that? A snail can sleep up to 3 weeks. That's amazing, isn't it? And you thought they had it bad. I'll give you one more and then we'll get started. You know what the snail said on the turtle's back? Whee! So we're moving kind of at a snail's pace, but we're going to study this book of Acts. No, I've not been in this wine before I got started. Some of you are giving me that look. Jesus ascends into heaven. Okay? Remember, this is after the resurrection. And these apostles are going to see Jesus ascend into heaven to be taken from their view, and they're staring, looking into heaven, and the angels appear to them and say, just as you've seen Jesus ascend, He will return. And so I want us to go to the 24th chapter of Matthew to give us a little more insight. Now, do we know the time of Jesus' return? No. We don't know the time. In fact, just say we don't need to be concerned about the date and the time. But we just like to try to predict dates and times for things as human beings, don't we? We like to know. And man, around the eclipse, everything was going to happen around the eclipse, right? Remember that? There were going to be earthquakes, world wars, I don't know what all. You know, the Lord was going to come at the eclipse. The Martians were coming. I don't know what all was going to happen. But it didn't. But we like to think that we know. And Jesus said, it's not for us to know. Not only is it really not for us to know, it's not for us to worry about. It's not for us to concern ourselves about. It's important to know it's coming. And it's important to know that when Jesus comes, we're all going to know it. Okay? We're all going to know it. Jesus will not come secretly. And that's really important. You know, let's read what Jesus says in Matthew 24. Let's talk about it quickly. So if anyone tells you, there He is, out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or here He is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For it is lightning that comes from the east and is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the people of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So when Jesus comes, what's he telling us? This is Jesus. Jesus speaking. When Jesus comes, everybody's going to know. He's not going to come secretly. It's not going to be one of those things where you're going to get a news report that says, rumor has it, and we're trying to verify this, that the Messiah has returned. We're going to know when Jesus comes back. When Jesus returns in from the heavens to descend as he ascended, Paul will talk about us then the resurrection coming and meeting the Lord in the air. But when Jesus returns, we'll all know. It's not going to be something secret or mystical. When he comes, we'll know. I'm not sure how we'll all know, but we'll all know. Whether we'll hear the trumpet, but we're going to see and know that Jesus has returned for us. So we're going to know that. Like I say, not going to be secret. So don't be deceived if at times in the future people begin to preach and teach and say that the Messiah has returned and he's here, he's there. And you know, my guess is the rumors will be he's in the Middle East, right? Because everything kind of centers around the Middle East. And that's okay, that would be the logical place. But don't fall for that. Jesus tells us right up front, and I'm not speculating, Jesus says, don't go. Don't go out in the wilderness. Don't go to the inner rooms. Don't go to this city or this place or that place, this country or that country, because when I return, even though we don't know the time that it's going to be, you will know. You will see it. You will know that I'm returning. And so, why is it not important that we know the times or the dates? Because we like to know. But it's not important for us to know. And it's, even though Jesus gives us some signs, they're not signs so we can be getting prepared. We're going to read just there. What's Jesus' lesson to us? Be prepared. He beat the Boy Scouts. Be prepared. That's Jesus' message. Jesus' message, you don't know when I'm coming, so be prepared always for my return. Let's read that next passage from the 24th chapter. But about the day, the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So what's Jesus saying? He said he didn't know the time. The angels don't know, but the Father knows. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Now, these being taken, is that going to be a secret? No. Just like in the days of Noah, what happens? Noah and his family get on the ark, right? They get on the ark. Everybody else is left, but they know the flood's coming once it starts, right? Once the flood starts, they know. But it was too late to get on the ark. So Jesus is saying, be prepared for my coming, because when I come, it's too late to make preparation. You've got time to make preparation today and be ready. Always be watchful. Always be ready. Always be prepared. And then he tells us a parable, gives us a story, gives us an illustration. He says, a landowner goes away, puts his manager in charge of his vineyard, of his land, of his farm. And so when the owner comes back, what should the manager be doing? What he's been assigned and hired to do, right? He should be managing, he should be treating the people fairly, he should be taking care of the crops, the flocks, whatever's there. That's what he's been hired to do, and that's what he should do. And so for the one who's prepared, who's doing what he's hired to do, when the master returns, what happens? He receives his reward, right? Now, the master hadn't said when he's coming back, but he should know, and he should know. The master said, I'm coming back. So you need to take care of things till I come back. Now, we get that, don't we? That we ought to do a good job of what we're assigned. If we're given management over somebody, something, they expect us to do a good job. Now, he tells about another manager. But what if the manager who assigns decides the master's been a long time coming? And that can happen to all of us in life, can't it? When we're first given something, we're really fired up about it, but as things kind of drag out, we get a little more slack, and we begin to think, well, it ain't going to be today. It ain't going to be today. I'll worry about that tomorrow. He says, so, you know, the master's a long time coming back, so the manager, he gets slack and he doesn't do his job well. And then not only does he not do his job well, he actually becomes abusive to those who are working for him. So not only is he negligent, but he is proactively not doing a good job, not taking care of others, not taking care of the owner's property. And so when the owner comes back, what happens to him? He's punished severely for not doing what he should have done. Now, what would have happened if he'd known the master was coming back? He would have started a major cleanup, right? He's coming back in 2 weeks. We're going to have this place in ship shape. And he'd start making nice with everybody. But he didn't know. He didn't know. And so it was about always being prepared. They used to laugh years ago. I don't know whether the story is true or not. A manager at one of the co-ops drove a motorcycle, and he would kill the motor and come rolling down the hill to the co-op just to see if the guys were working or not when he got back. That's not really my style of management, but anyway. So you never knew when that motorcycle might come rolling down the hill quietly, and so you need to be working. But the same thing is true. Jesus is saying we ought to be about his business, about the Lord's business every day because he's returning, and it's the right thing to do. But be prepared, because what happened? In the time of Noah, what did they think? What all of us think. All of us, even though we know historically things change in the world and change majorly, and we believe as Christians, or hope we do, that the Lord's going to return and everything is going to be changed. Everything is going to be made new. Everything will be different. All of the things that we think are valuable will be destroyed, will be burnt up. But in our everyday living, it's pretty hard not to kind of go about business thinking things will be like they're going to be. 10 years from now, we'll be 10 years older if we're still here. Things are going to be worse than they are today. But things will be kind of going along as they are. But we don't know. Maybe that's true, or maybe the Lord returns in that time. But as Christians, that really shouldn't make a difference to us. Because we should be prepared for the Lord's return whenever it comes. We shouldn't procrastinate about being about the Lord's business. What did Jesus start doing or was doing by age 12? He was about the Father's business, right? Remember when Joseph and Mary finally find him in the temple after they'd lost him for 3 days? And he said, well, didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? It was like, that should have just been an automatic. That you would have known this is what I would be doing. Because it's the thing to do. That we ought to be about God's business. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all preaching and teaching Sunday school every day, although that's not a bad thing, but it means that we're aligning our hearts and our lives with the will of God every day. Because it's easy to say, I'm going to do that later. I'm going to be really honest with you. My clothes are not fitting me well at all. Kathy, I don't know why you're laughing. You're part of the cause of this. Only part. But anyway, but I know what to do about it. But it's just hard to do, isn't it? And right here at Thanksgiving and Christmas, what do you want to tell yourself? Next week. Or after the first of the year. Or something. At least that's what I tell myself. But we can do the same thing spiritually or about other aspects of life, can't we? We know to do, and I'm going to do this at some later time. At some later point. But what Jesus is trying to tell us in this, in these stories and in these lessons is we need to be prepared every day. We need to be about God's business every day. You know, it's not laborious. That's the thing. It's not a bad thing. Being about God's business should bring us joy. It is a great way to live, but it's easy for us to be slack about it and make other things a priority. And so just saying, you don't need to know the date or the time. I don't know. The angels don't know. The Father knows. But we all need to be prepared every day. Because remember what God says in the Ten Commandments. You'll have no other gods before me. You'll have no other gods before me. I'm a jealous God. What's God saying? I've got to have. I require. I demand. A place of preeminence in your life. A place of preeminence. And you know, that's not just with our lips. It's not just, well, I'm going to make sure I'm at church on Sunday. Although those are important things. But it's about in every aspect of every day of our lives that God be first. That God be first. And Jesus says, what about his yoke? About his burden. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Isn't that what Jesus said? And if you come to me and you take on my yoke and you take on my burden, what will you find? Rest. Rest for your souls. Being about God's business is not laborious. But what's Satan always trying to do? Keep us away from it. And I'm going to be honest with you. If he can just tell us tomorrow, next month, when I get this done, first of the year, when I retire, when I get the kids grown, when I get married, when I get out of school, whatever that is that keeps us back. Because you remember what Jesus says to the church at Laodicea? And it scares me when I read it. It's in the book of Revelation, and it's Jesus. In fact, in red letter editions, we think the red letters are all in the Gospels. It's red letter in Revelation. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, you are neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth. The Lord doesn't call us just not to be bad, but he calls us to, with intensity and faith and desire, to be about his business. Because the master's going to return. And he's given us so much opportunity. And he just asks us to be about his business. And the burden's not heavy. But he says, just know to be about my business. Because I love you and I care for you. And at great cost, I sent my son to die for you. And I just call that you live in faith and service and dedication to me. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.